for the last item on the agenda, which is a presentation by Françoise on the equity method.
Thank you. And thank you for having the point to on the agenda. We have discussed in this forum the equity method possible project and its scope and its phases different times, and different views have been expressed. And we thought that it might be helpful if we provided an explicit description of what we think would need to be addressed on this project. The first point I would like to make before getting into the details of the proposal is that to us, this is a project that sits in the maintenance activities of the ISB. It's not a project that is kind of developing new standards. It's maintaining what we have and making sure that IS 28 in particular can be applied without causing divergence of practices or misunderstandings as to what is the principle that should apply. So it's really a project helping solve the issues that have arisen. And originally, when we hoped that the ISB would look into it, it was really to have an alternative approach to the narrow scope amendments that we saw that were, in fact, creating problems when eventually considered altogether. So I think it's important to make that point because in terms of prioritization and including as part of the agenda consultation, it really belongs to those maintenance activities. So when considering the scope, and of course the scope that we propose very much reflects this analysis that we have, it is in a different approach to the improvements of IS 28 in order to solve the issues that have arisen in practice. And as a result, not to reconsider the equity method. And this is really the reasons why, as the discussion have developed from meeting to meeting, we could not support this idea of either short-term or mid-term, because short-term was fine but in terms of timing, but not in terms of content. And the long-term, in our view, it would not rank very high in terms of priorities. Maybe have to be done one day, I don't know, but we would not rank it very high in terms of priority. But this one, defined as is proposed, we would. In fact, we have built this proposal, taking into account also the work that has been done by others, and in particular the work that the Korean Standards Board has done on the subject, and that we have also discussed in one of our meetings at ASAF. And also work done by the Japanese standard setters on user survey in particular. So this leads us to suggest that in this project there would be five stages, but it's more a question of four plus one, and I will explain. So the first element is to us to select an approach that brings the necessary backbone principle to the purpose and use of the equity method. The equity method as we have it in IS 28, which is more or less the scope that we have. So solving, bringing the principle basis that is now needed for the use of the equity method. And we think that an approach similar to the analysis that the Korean Standards Board had done would be helpful in arriving at a conclusion on this. The second one, rational scope for the use of the equity method in consolidated financial statement, stems from consideration that we've had that the definition of significant influence, as it is today, doesn't seem to could be improved. Also inspired partly by the work done by the Korean Standard Board that tried to identify the boundary of the economic activity of a reporting entity, we've built this idea that there could be, in addition to the ability to participate in the decisions of an entity, the notion of strong interrelationship, so the between the activities of the joint venture or the associate and the reporting entity. And we've done so also to have a good basis to distinguish between when you have a financial investment and when you have an investment that helps you carry out your economic activities. And that brings a basis to do so. As a result, there would be a phase where you would have to decide what to do with those investments that would not meet this revised criterion or criteria. And the fourth step that is listed at the fifth here is to revisit the standards and make sure that you align the current literature so that this principle basis that is clarified can enter into practice. The fourth point is an add-on that we think might be interesting to look at, and that really builds on the comments we received at the time that the equity method was reintroduced for the separate financial statements in particular, but it's whether the application of the equity method should aim at reflecting your share in the net assets of the investee, and that is really because people are looking for that tracking from the accounts to the other. But it could be included or not included. I mean, the four other steps are worth doing, even if this one was not, but it could be a useful add-on. So in terms of project status, frankly, if this was developed, it could, and I don't think we know yet, the next stage could be an exposure draft, or it could be a discussion paper, but until some progress has been made, we don't think that it is appropriate to decide, and it may well be in developing along those lines, there would be a lot of controversy, or whether there would be easy acceptance that indeed this clarifies it doesn't change, or doesn't change in any way significantly, but it brings this backbone, which is necessary, so that instead of issuing requests to the interpretation committee, preparers basically know how to apply the equity method in practice for each set of fact patterns that they may have to consider. So this is our proposal.
First, thank you very much for Francois for your kind or very comprehensive explanation and analysis in the paper, and we very much appreciate your suggestion in twofold. The first fault is that to retain the equity method of accounting. When we discussed equity method of accounting, there is some discussion as to whether the equity method of accounting should be retained or not, because the equity method of accounting is very difficult to conceptualize, etc. But as far as we have heard from the other stakeholders, both from users, preparers, our stakeholders at least expressed a significant support for the maintenance of the equity method of accounting. So we very much appreciate that your proposal in that. Your proposal is based on the presumption that the equity method of accounting should be retained. So it's my first point. And the second point is to identify the backbone, as you said, in considering the equity method of accounting. We have tried to make some bundling for the equity method of accounting in September or October ASAP meeting, we discussed whether we could improve the equity method while considering the notion of the backbone in the long term. But we quickly realized that it's going to be very difficult to make a band-aid while considering the long term, the backbone in the, as a part of the long term consideration. I think it's because the equity method of accounting treatment relates to the concepts. So even if we try to improve the equity method of accounting in the short term, that might give rise to significant inconsistency with the notion of backbone that will be considered in the long term. So for two reasons, we very much appreciate your proposal, Francois.
Success. First of all, thanks, Francois, for the presentation and the paper. It's a very good paper, and I learned a lot from the paper. But just several questions. From my point of view, I'm not very clear with regard to the scope part. One question is that if there is a social aid, and this social aid has no strong interrelationship with the investor, how we account for under the current framework? Because it seems that the notion is of a strong internal relationship is very important. If this kind of relation in place, equity method will be used. If this kind of relation not in place, how we account for this kind of investment? Secondly, because we got new notion, new term of strong interrelationship. So understanding the nature of this kind of relationship very important, and I look at the some criteria. It seems that this kind of criteria based on the transactions and activities between investor and investees. But one thing I concern is that this kind of notion between the strong interrelationship. The relationship of this kind of notion with the notion of the significant influence, because I look at the definition of significant influence, it's based on the power to participate in the financial and operating policy decisions of the investee. So that is one dimension based on the policy making process of power. Not simply based on the transaction or activity based. So I'm not very very clear this kind of relationship between the notion of significant influence and as well as strong interrelationship. And finally, the question is that it seems to me that the paragraph 11 said that once the notion of strong interrelationship introduced, it will be equally to apply to associate as well as joint ventures. But it seemed to me that the nature of significant influence as well as joint control, there's some difference there. So whether we need different approach or whether same notion to apply to different natures of business or activities.
Well, in proposing this scope, we are not answering all questions. We're just, it's really kind of a project plan, and I wouldn't pretend that this notion of strong interrelationship is a ready-to-use criterion. I mean, it needs to be discussed and argued, but it was indeed to build on this idea that the Korean Accounting Standards Board has developed and that we have thought was meaningful of saying behind, beyond the group that we know with the parent and subsidiaries, there are associates and joint ventures that contribute to the economic activities of the entity. And that is done through, I mean, it's a fact today that you have in the IFRS literature that you account for investments in joint ventures and associates in the same way. And that would be, it's a possible direction to investigate to make the significant influence criterion richer and more meaningful. To distinguish from another entity that in which maybe I have the same ability to participate in the decisions, but that would have no economic link of any nature with the activities that the group develops.
Kim?
Thanks, Hans. I also found the paper interesting. Maybe at the outset, though, I have a different starting point in that I don't know if the argument for equity accounting to continue has been made. And I do think that if this is going to be a research project, to me, that question needs to be answered. If the conclusion is that it is needed, then the question is it practical to apply? And I don't know if that then ties in with the scope, because many preparers struggle to get the required information, and that might go back to, well, what is the required information? So if we look at the current requirements, where they needed to have determined fair values, aligned accounting policies, etc. Now, if they aren't able to get that information, are those strong indicators that they don't actually have significant influence and they therefore shouldn't be in that space of applying equity accounting, which currently would shift them into a fair value model? Or, and I know that some of the possibilities around simplifying the equity method have been, well, the information that's equity accounted is just simply the investee's own information. But again, is that the way to go on the basis of different accounting frameworks, never mind even just IFRS, or even if it is IFRS, it could be, as I say, different accounting policies, you know, different timing. So is that information actually useful, which has been brought in? It certainly would make it easier to apply because the investee would simply provide their own financial information. So for me, I don't know if the case really has been made as to do we really need it. And then if we do look at instances where maybe currently there's a 15% interest, and if the conclusion is, well, there is no significant influence, well, that is meant to be fair valued currently. And maybe the question is, well,
cost as well.
Well, you can only go with cost if you can't determine fair value reliably. And I mean, IFRS 9 has now taken away that ability to say, well, that variability is too great, etc. So you're forced into determining a fair value. I mean, are those causing problems in practice that people can't determine the fair value? So it is interesting that for a certain grouping, fair value is required, and all of a sudden, beyond that, we're into this model using information which could be questionable as to what information value it really provides. So I don't know, I just think that perhaps that still needs to be addressed before just assuming equity accounting will continue and finding ways of just making it work.
I respond. I think, Kim, that I don't know the response to your question, but I took care in the preamble to say this is part of maintenance activities, and what we have noted in practice that is missing, the difficulty that has risen from practice to date is the fact that people don't know how to deal with specific fact patterns because you have different possible directions in IFRS that contradict each other and that lead into different possible outcomes. And this project has no other ambition than helping solve that issue. And we have not had identification so far that the use of the equity method instead of something else is causing problem, loss of information. So maybe at a point in time it will be a good priority for the ISB to question the equity method. But we haven't seen evidence that this is the case. So we're just trying to have a moderate, very moderate ambition of solving what is in need of, evident need of solving. So it's a limited ambition, and that's why I qualified it as maintenance activities.
Tom?
Let me give you an update on what came back from our effort to do maintenance activity on the equity method. Recall, we made a proposal to get rid of accounting for the basis difference, consistent with how you would do that if it was one line consolidation. It was not loved. 70%, over 70% of our stakeholders agreed with our statement that one line consolidation is not the basis for the equity method, because why would you want to consolidate something you don't control? And besides, we don't really do one line consolidation because they're separate impairment, and we don't write to a negative value if the net assets of the investee are negative, so it's, we really don't do one line consolidation well. So there was agreement that they don't know the concept that we're trying to support, but there was also a lot of distaste about removing something that at least approximated one line consolidation, because they couldn't figure out what the basis for the equity method was if we pulled it away further from one line consolidation. And so we had a robust conversation. There, over 50% of the stakeholders didn't want us to do this. Primary reason, no conceptual basis for doing it, but they were also concerned with having to do more impairment if the carrying value was higher, and some implications of cash flow accounting and gains and loss issues and eliminations that were going to be problematic. So some practical issues. Our board talked about it for some time, frustrated that we were just trying to simplify a calculation, but decided not to go forward to more address what Kim was talking about. What are we trying to accomplish with the equity method? It doesn't seem like we can simplify it or make it easier to apply without having a conceptual basis for doing it. And so we asked ourselves the questions. We went out to some users, and the users don't understand everything that's done in the equity method accounting, even though they sometimes say they like it. They don't have any idea that there was basis difference amortizations or there was elimination of intracompany transactions. They didn't understand the method, even though they stated they liked it. So we're going back to evaluate in the context of consolidation for control and fair value methods for insignificant. Is there a third class and a need for a third class? And I think this particular paper gives you a potential basis for a third measurement basis, but it's not clear that it would be the equity method that would be the best one to do. The issues we discussed, we sent back to the staff to think about whether we maintain the equity method or reach out to users to say, would a fair value through OCI methodology be better than an equity-based method and not be accountable for unrealized gains or losses that you're not going to realize imminently? Is the issue about the equity method primarily one of we don't want to go to fair value because in some of these significant influence areas it's private investments and we don't be able, not easily able to get a fair value measurement? Is that the reason why we'd want to maintain it? We've introduced into U.S. GAAP the notion that if you cannot measure a private equity security, it's still a fair value basis, but you don't have to remeasure it to fair value if there's not an observable transaction price. So it's still fair value, but the remeasurements are not as frequent unless there's an observed transaction price, but with an impairment required. We're going back to investigate all of those potential alternatives and to try to find a foundation for, should there be a third measurement method, and if so, what should the measurement method be to that would best achieve some sort of objective? But some who really liked this project were quite frustrated that there was no way to think about simplifying the method without getting all tied up in what we're trying to do with the method.
Jean?
the IFRAC paper uses the term boundaries of economic activities to define a scope for the equity method accounting. We support the IFRAC on this point because we think this term is not different from the term equity accounted group in Casper research paper. KASV used the term equity accounted group to describe a single economic entity. So we believe that the boundaries of economic activities, as IFRAC defines, and equity accounted group are conceptually the same. However, we think that the IFRAC has made a very positive attempt to describe the characteristics of boundaries of economic activities by using the concept strong interrelationship. In KASP research paper, we did not explain what characteristics equity accounted group should have. There are two comments in our group. One is the one member in Hong Kong provided a comment that the indicator of the notion of strong interrelationship seemed to duplicate the threshold in the existing IAS 28.6 for the existence of significant influence. Hong Kong argued the IFRAC term is not fundamentally different from the existing IAS 28.6. KAS, we think IFRAC suggests a meaningful suggestion in the sense that the notion by IFRAC describes the characteristics of boundaries of economic activities. However, one observation on IFRAC term is that if we adopt strong interrelationship as a characteristic of equity method accounting, it would reduce the scope of equity method accounting compared to the current IAS 28. The reason are as follows. In IAS 28, paragraph 6, there are five evidences to determine whether significant influence exists. And IAS 28 tells that if there is only one of them, a significant influence exists. Those five evidences can be categorized into two groups. One is the ability to exercise influence on decision making. The other one is the close economic relationship. The indicators based on strong interrelationship would be relevant to close economic relationship, not to the ability to exercise influence on decision making. It implies that the indicators based on strong interrelationship would be more restrictive than those in the current IAS 28. We are not sure whether reducing the scope of equity method accounting is good or not. I think we would need to discuss this matter further.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
So, it's hard to argue that there's an issue with equity accounting because it keeps coming up over and over again. In Canada, we had initially thought we were going to do a project on equity accounting for our private enterprise, and then it kept growing and growing, and we realized that we were going to set it aside because there was no quick fix. Interestingly, it paralleled in some respects the discussion that Tom just had, so we have put that aside for now. It seems this notion, what Francois's paper describes as rationalizing a scope, it's hard to refute that that would be a good idea. In light of all the other things we have now, the equity method is old.
lots of other things have happened since it came about. So it seems to me that one of the things that we would be well served by is to look at the data around who is using the equity method, what types of transactions they're using it for, and what the users actually understand those transactions to be. So what information are the users getting from that type of reporting? I personally have difficulty calling the equity method a one-line consolidation anymore because I'm not sure that it is, given other things. So it just seems like perhaps one of the things that we could do as jurisdictions to help is to take a look in our own jurisdictions, what's happening with the financial reporting using the equity method, and come back and give that information. So that's one suggestion.
Chris?
So I was interested in Tom's view that he thought that the EFRAG paper provided the support for finding that sort of middle ground between a financial asset and consolidation, because I guess it does bring out some interesting issues, but I'm just not sure it's actually made the case for why you need that middle ground. And that to me is a fundamental issue, because you're actually trying to bring in other assets and liabilities of another entity on a different basis, and I think you need to have some really good conceptual grounds to do that, because my understanding of where equity accounting came from in the first place was we were back in the historical cost days and there was nothing like fair value. Mm-hmm. So people were trying to get a better understanding of those entities where there was more of a relationship, and it was felt that it was more important to have an updated piece of information, not your historical cost information. But I think Tom used the term last time, we've leapfrogged that whole scenario and we've now got fair value. So I really want to see somebody come and explain fully why there is a need for something else other than fair value or consolidation. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand in Korea that there's some really difficult structural issues about how entities work together, but I'm not sure that we should be driving a whole new conceptual basis just from one particular example. Or we need to be able to articulate better why control is not working in those particular circumstances and you need something else in the middle. So certainly our history in Australia has been that equity accounting is a valuation approach rather than a one-line consolidation approach, so that does tend to colour where we're coming from. But I just say, before we do anything else, and particularly if we are concerned that this could change the scope of what significant influence is, that we need to be really clear that there's actually a future to equity accounting in the first place. So I just encourage us all to do what Linda suggested, go back, get the feedback from users, and actually really work out what the conceptual basis should be.
And I didn't mean to say that I was trying to defend a third category with equity method. I was trying to suggest, the paper suggests going out and seeing whether there is any reason for a different measurement basis for this for the types of investments covered by Francois's paper.
Well, you said discussing the sort of scope and getting back to concepts and thinking about that. How does this fit in with our overall agenda setting and the agenda consultation we've got out at the moment? How high a priority, because this would be a big project, how high a priority do you think we should put on it?
We'll tell you in our letter. It's still being debated.
Perhaps Peter can tell us something about that.
No, I had a question for Tom, actually. Do you think you're likely to consider taking all the existing uses of equity methods, and if you make changes, making the same change to them? Or do you think there might be more than one category in there? And the reason I'm asking is that we discussed it with the Global Preparers Forum a few months back, and there seemed to be quite a strong view there that there is at least two types of investment. That there are some that are like an extension of the entity's own business, and there are some that are more like sort of standalone investments. And so, for example, on the intercompany eliminations, they felt very differently about two cases. For the extensions, they really wanted to keep the intercompany eliminations, whereas for the others, they thought they were more like arm's length investments, and it made less sense. So is that something you think that the FASB might look at?
Well, previously in our early incarnations of our work on classification and measurement, we did propose moving away from the equity method for more classes of investments, and received what I would describe as no uniform, consistent view about how to think about that. Some very strong support for continuing the equity method, but no basis for doing so.
Yeah.
And so it became almost intractable as to how to move forward. All of us have sort of questioned, given that we've always thought when less than significant influence was cost, equity method was an approximation of fair value. When you couldn't see fair value, it doesn't make as much sense when the base of method's fair value. But we don't really know what we could be doing going forward. It's a very difficult issue, and we just haven't raised it up to the level of having to address it. But I think other than one board member who's sitting behind me, most of us are wondering what we're doing with the equity method. And it's just been super challenging.
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, in my previous comment, I didn't comment on the notion of the strong interrelationship. This is because I thought that the notion of strong interrelationship is very much similar to the notion of the significant influence. And the only reason why the IFRAG tried to avoid the use of the term strong interrelationship is the notion of the significant influence has been misunderstood in many cases. Therefore, I think although the IFRAG recognizes the similarity of the notion between the significant influence and strong interrelationship, the IFRAG decided to propose another term. That, I think, is the reason why the IFRAG proposes the notion of strong interrelationship. So I think the notion of the strong interrelationship and the significant influence isn't that different. And in my view, the both terms provide evidence that the investment is the extension of the entity's own business rather than the entity's own standalone investment. And I think that the key notion is the extension of the entity's business activities. So I think in thinking about what is the basis of the equity method of accounting, the Peter's idea or comment about extension of an entity's business activities would be the key term, perhaps. And in doing so, if we really try to use the term strong interrelationship, we need to clarify whether this term indicates a two-way relationship because the interrelationship seems to indicate a two-way relationship. But I don't think so. I think it's just, it may permit this one-way relationship as well. So, well, to summarize, I think the starting point for the further consideration would be the notion of extension of an entity's business activities conducted, and also in thinking about whether the another term is appropriate or not. I think we need to think about what is the weakness of the term significant influence, and if the term significant influence and the notion of strong interrelationship are not really different, I might suggest the clarifying the term significant influence.
I mean, the scope for this project, in addition to being seen as a maintenance activity and not a full-blown project on how to best account for those investments, comes from a body that argues in favor of having business activities, the why the value is being created, guiding the measurement. So, without discussing the equity method, certainly taking a fair value measurement perspective, which is a market participant perspective, which comes from a sales scenario, has certainly not much to do with the representation of a stream of income, which is coming in synergy with the entity's activities. So there is a big economic difference. You know why an investment that is completely disconnected from the entity will generate cash flows for that entity compared to this kind of activity. So I'm not disputing, I mean, I'm not discussing whether the equity method is a good representation. This project comes from the project. It starts with, that's what we have. Let's try to see how we can solve the or help solve the implementation issues that are encountered at present, because you have contradictions, internal contradictions in the IFS literature. It doesn't have any other ambition. So, and it doesn't say that the equity method is the best you can dream of. It says it's there. Let's make sure that it can be implemented in without creating contradictions, or just keeping prepared with what is the direction I should follow. It doesn't go beyond that. And if we want to help the ISB prioritize its development of, you know, improving IFRS, improving how it is implemented, having regard for the resources, the scarce resources that are available, then you need to have big ambitions for big projects and smaller ambitions for others. And it can't be fully satisfactory not to look at every aspect and have a contented attitude towards this. It has its frustration, but some frustrations are good to bear to get to some efficient result in a reasonable term. And leave resources available for example, post-employment benefits, you know, or other projects that carry more demand.
Gary.
Thank you, Mr. Differenzo. By the way, I thought this was a very interesting paper, and compliments to the people that put it together. It, but as you know, we're not going off on a long-term project to eliminate the equity method and replace it with something else, but what we were working on, is not called tactical improvements, upstream and downstream trading, you know, what do you do about changes in interest and so on. If we, you know, end up going this route, I think, you know, what do you do about the intergroup trading and the changes in interest and so on become even more important, because a greater scope of transactions proportionally would have intergroup trading. You're not proposing, are you proposing this in addition to that or in lieu of that? You know, again, eliminations of the trading, and then you say the changes in interest is where we're working. We drop that if we went with this route, or is this just sort of precursor and you would still do that? What's your thinking?
It is to, in fact, replace it. Instead of dealing with fact pattern after fact pattern, you decide on the backbone, which has its merits and its drawbacks, but at least that has the advantage of bringing consistent answers, one benefit, and second, gives the direction to prepare us for the series of fact patterns that has not been yet discovered that would otherwise come to you, because one time it's A, B, C, which is followed, and you can't reconcile.
But if you went the strong interrelationship route as opposed to the 20% significant influence route, you would still have the issues of intercompany eliminations, you know, for, you know, what do you do about, you know, the retained gains, or what do you do when equity positions change? Those issues would still exist if we went with this route. In fact, arguably they'd be more important because the scope of what's in the equity method would all be driven by, you know, intergroup trading. Would you not have us still work on those?
That would probably have a role in the choice to be made, but I think it's bringing the backbone we say in this paper should follow the same type of analysis that the Cohen Accounting Standards Board did in their paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there is a table there that shows that at present, considering different requirements, and it shows how different requirements in IFRS today respond to different and antagonistic logics. And the idea of this project is to get to one basis that will help provide consistent answers. And the strong interrelationship may have an impact of reducing somewhat the scope for all this, and anyway, it's one thing to consider to make more sense out of it, and to adopt or drop. You can select the backbone and leave the significant influence criterion aside if you so wish, if you think it's better to do so.
Well, but the significant influence test of 20%, arguably that's a backbone also.
Well, the 20% has never been 15%, which is interesting because 20% is what has developed in practice because you didn't have any other way of materializing it. So, it has proven unsatisfactory, and when we have discussed what were the difficulties around the equity method, I mean, this has been identified as one area that could be improved. But basically, it doesn't preempt at this stage what is the best solution. It's just the objective is to bring this consistent and in a way which is clear enough so that people in practice can make their application consistent. It's really mm-hmm. consistency in practice is the objective.
Okay.
Thank you. When we think about the equity accounting, I think we need to answer two questions. One question is what the investment in equity is all about. And the second question is what the performance of the investors in the equity investment. So as everybody said, when we talk about investment in equity, there are spectrum. Mm-hmm. The one is pure financial instrument. The other is 100% subsidiary. So in the case of 100 subsidiary, obviously this is the business. But in the case of pure financial instrument, this is to get more money, just in pure short-term investment. But then the difficulty is if you look at the performance of the investor. What is the purpose of having an investment in equity is very important. And then if we mix up the purpose of financial instrument and mix up the business, then it confuses. However, the difficulty is that there is an area which you don't control the business itself. So if you control, it's easy, but you are not controlling. How can we introduce the performance of the asset which you are not really controlling? And then equity method, in a sense, is a kind of expedient to achieve somehow to reflect the performance if it's an extension of your own business. But difficulty of which I faced in my previous experience was when can we get the real cash? So the experience I often faced was we invest very good entity which makes a good performance. We only have 20% stake of that entity. It is performing, so we can enjoy the equity in earnings. However, in the end, when can we get that money, cash, back? We could sell it, but if the counterparty is quite limited, sometimes it's quite difficult to sell. And if we try to get the dividend, then although you have a significant influence, because you are not controlling it, you cannot get the dividend when you want. So it was quite difficult to get the cash, even though you have a good performing equity investment. So it is quite difficult to say that even though you have a huge amount of equity earnings, you are performing well. So this is the shortcoming of equity in earnings. So in this sense, I really appreciate the approach IFRAG is trying to achieve, but it's a bit difficult to understand. So I just want to communicate with you more in the future. Thank you.
Okay.
So obviously, after October, we
we realised that we needed to rethink on the scope of where we went and where we're going. I think Francois's paper has outlined one option. As Gary said, that was the paper that Francois put forward is a wider scope project, because what we were trying to do was really just look at the methodology and see if we could simplify the methodology. I think the point Linda made about us maybe working and doing more research on who's using the equity method and the information that users take from the equity method is something we all need to think about. But as Ian said, our key focus is going to be the feedback that we get to the agenda consultation.
Okay. That brings us to the end of our formal agenda. Tomo, I understand that you wanted to raise an issue. Is that correct?
I think it's Tomo and Francois' last meeting.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Well,
unless Tomo had a goodbye statement.
That's something I wanted to raise. It's indeed the last meeting that both Françoise and Tomo are participating. And well, you have participated with a very constructive attitude, and you have contributed both a lot in terms of papers and ideas. So we'll certainly miss you, and we wish you all the best in the future, whatever your future may bring. In your case, it's still not quite clear. Tomo is. Future is a bit clearer, and I hope to continue seeing you in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.